Welcome to Art Speak Radio. It's me, Maria Vasquez Boyd, with you here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I love being here with you, and I thank you for tuning in with us this afternoon, making us a priority. And if you're listening online at kkfi.org, you're streaming live, so we love that. Hey, this week we have again, just a terrific room full of creative people. We have Sherwood, who is a poet, musician. We have Sydney Ross, who's an artist. Also, Anson the Honorary, also an artist. And we have Becky Ray. And we're going to find out about her Ghost A-Go-Go with Becky Ray. And so, yeah, we've got everything lined up ready for you to sit back and listen. I want to introduce our first guest, that's Sean Neustadt, who's also known as Sherwood. And he's been a musician in Kansas City for more a decade. So he's been around.
Yeah, I've been around.
Okay, there you go. But most of that time spending fronting his band, Sri Yantra, on guitar and vocal. Previous acts include Tenede de Pay, Antumbra, and Drew and Friends. Sherwood has also been published a few times, most notably in a recent release from Kansas City's own 39 West Press titled Prompts, a Spontaneous Anthology. He's also been a featured act at Poetry and Absinthe, which is a local showcase hosted by the Wormwood Collective for artists on the fringes of their niche. And he continues to contribute to their presentation every first Friday of the month. That's at Prohibition Hall. So welcome, my friend. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
You bet. Yeah. So he's got his guitar here, and you've got some new songs you want to share with us, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. On May 16th, I'm going to be opening up for Emma Lou and Sam out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're going to be playing at Uptown Arts Bar. The show is from 7 to 9. It'll start at 7. Emma Lou and Sam are amazing artists. I kind of imagine them like what Frank Zappa might have done if he approved of psychedelics. But it's a really fantastic show. I can't wait. And then I came to play some music to spread the word.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for more information about upcoming events, and this one in particular, UptownArtsBar, I believe, .com is the website. And you also have social media, right?
Yeah, you can find me on the old Facebook. It's Facebook.com/SherwoodKC. That's sure as in you are certain, and wood as in the tree.
Terrific.
I'm there. You can find all the events that I've got planned and everything that's going on.
Beautiful. So what are you going to play for us today?
I'm going to be playing some of the tracks from my new EP that's going to be coming out within the next few weeks.
Terrific. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. This song is called Flower.
She'll love you like a flower, will never love you as she loves the rain. A chaos that will reign supreme as a spiritual mind and a physical being. Stems are compelled to cut that beauty off as my own. I'm bled dry with the risky brisk smile when thorn struck bone. Oh, and we'll lay unforgotten. The next plane's only tragedy. We're trapped here in a memory. We're both trapped here as ghosts. I'm not looking for a home, man, just a place to die. Don't ask why. There's no belief this week's truth to me is just safety in your sophistry. So hedge your bets that society gets less repentance from defining your existence. You'll take a final bow, walking high regard as you're taking to get lit in the fire. We're trapped here in a memory. We're both trapped here as ghosts.
Ooh. Man, I didn't want that to end. Just throw in another chorus in there. No, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful. So this all of this new work will be performed at the Uptown Arts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to be performing 4 new tracks, and then I'll probably play some Zappa and some Ninja fill in the rest of the time.
And so then the CD will come out, but will people be able to download the music, or how will they find out about
it? Yeah, I'll probably make downloading the music the more accessible thing. Rather, I don't like to create a lot of material waste if I can help it. So
I love that.
Absolutely.
And you've got another song?
Yeah.
You know, it's like I wanted you to come back because last time you were here, we only had time for maybe 1 or 2 songs, and then it was like, whoop, done. So, yeah. Do perform some more. And I love starting off the program with music, so thank you.
I always love to get local music on the radio.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, this next one is called Found You Alive.
Well, I can see the truth in words and the lies between their lines. Perfection coming from someone whom you idealize. Forbidden fruit so bittersweet, with becoming your best friend. But to deny yourself heaven, trying to disguise your true intention. And I'm alive the day that I found you. And I'll die the day you die. Well, darkened world, lullabies that dance haven't lost their flair. Absorbed by the emptiness of a lost love they shared. Indulge any experience, just imagining you're there. Blindly clutching for your wonder. A sight that brought me to life. And I'm alive the day that I found you. And I'll die the day you die. Ow. Well, painting your vessel with colored language, you can't disguise that masterpiece. You are what you is. The truth of a selfish life isn't how you reach the sky. The tales of fall and triumph in learning how we fly. And I'm alive the day that I found you. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'll die the day you die.
Beautiful. Wow. You know, as I'm listening to you, I wonder about some of your influences. What music do you listen to, or what influences your creativity when you write music and all?
Well, my favorite music is from Ween, Frank Zappa. I get compared often to Elliott Smith, and I've loved Elliott Smith for a long time. I don't feel like I really compare to his creative genius, but I certainly am inspired by his work, and Jeff Buckley. Mm-hmm. And then there's just like a whole laundry list of other bands that sort of fall in.
Yeah. And it helps that you're a poet, because then the lyrics, would come easily?
Well, yeah, actually, most of the lyrics come from poems I write, and it's always a really grueling process, because I cut out probably 2/3 of the poem to make a song out of it. But it's still is fun. I enjoy it's not work if you're enjoying it, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, if when you perform on stage, wherever you're at, is there a mix of poetry and music, or do you prefer to stay with one versus the other?
I do blend the elements. Yeah. I tend to do a little bit of spoken word. Usually I put focus about the aspect of the breath, because breath is what I would consider the most spiritual aspect of the human experience. It's what you use to give life to everything you have to share with people. Mm-hmm. And, I definitely try to blend the elements of captivating the mind with something thought-provoking. That way they can listen for more than just a harmony in music.
Now, I may have asked you before, but do you play other instruments?
Yes. I mean, guitar and vocals is my main niche. I do play keys a little bit, and then mm-hmm. I've messed around on a little bit of everything. It's definitely something you enjoy doing as a musician.
I should have brought my banjolele for you. It's really needs tuning, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's always fun to jam.
Yeah. So you have another song for us?
Sure. I'll play one more.
Sure.
This one is also one that I've been working on from the new EP. I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to call it, but I did perform it with you as a spoken piece when we first met, and I told you I'd be putting it to song, so I came prepared for
you. Terrific.
Truth allowed, it remains.
a great song. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. You know, if you've just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and I'm talking with Sean Neustadt, also known as Sherwood. He's been a musician in Kansas City for a decade, most of that time spent fronting other bands, Sri Yantra on guitar and vocal, and other bands. He's also been published a few times as a poet, and most notably in a recent release from Kansas City's own 39 West Press titled Prompts, a spontaneous anthology. I know you're with the Wormwood Collective, and they perform every first Friday of the month at Prohibition Hall. So will you be on stage in June, in a couple of weeks?
We're actually, that's kind of undergoing a little bit of a transformation right now. We've been moving down into the lower level of Prohibition Hall, so it's actually going on the underside, which not a lot of people realize is there, and some people have been confused about looking for us. So there is a second level of Prohibition Hall underneath the original level, and we're putting together a mixture of poetry and other artistic performances that kind of considered sideshow, because we really want to be all inclusive on the fringe aspects. So I'll definitely be posting more on my page that you can find on Facebook.
And we just have a few more minutes, so if you would tell our listeners how to contact you or find you on social media or whatever.
Like I said, I'm on Facebook. It's Sherwood. It's Sherwood. KC, that's the URL, so you can get right to the page. And on the page, I have songs that I've recorded linked from my Reverb Nation. I've had a lot of encouragement to get on SoundCloud, so I'm probably going to upload some there too. And I always post information on my Facebook page about what events are coming up. I share some of my poetry on there, so some of that's available. And you can also reach me to get access to my Instagram, which has hundreds of poems on it, one is so interested. I'm glad to share.
And again, tell us the date and the time for the performance at Uptown Arts Bar.
So it's Uptown Arts Bar, May 16th. It's from 7 to 9 p.m. And I'll be opening for Emma Lou and Sam. They're also on Facebook. It's EMMALOO and Sam. They're tremendous musicians. I encourage people to come out and support. It's a free show. So.
And your release?
My release, I'm pretty much revealing all these songs live for the first time right now. And then I'll be playing them live at the show as well.
Great. Any last words, my friend?
Be mindful of your breath. Take deep breaths, not shallow ones.
Yeah, I love that. Your music is great. Congratulations to you and everything that you do. Lovely way to start the show and have you here again in the studio. You will be back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love your show, too, so thank you for having me.
Very good. You know, we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after these messages. And we're back. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd on ArtSpeak Radio with you every Wednesday at 90.1 FM KKFI, noon to 1 p.m. And you can also listen to us online, kkfi.org. Golly. So we've got another group of hold on. I think I might have to change your microphone, honey. Let's pull that one down. Yeah, let's go to 4. There we are. So, here, I can tell you who's on next. We have Sydney Ross and Sinead Honnery, both artists. Sydney is she's going to be at a show that's opening on Friday, May 12th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Kansas City Artists Coalition. Progressional Currents is an exhibition highlighting ceramic artists that have traveled to Hungary in order to expand and challenge their studio practice at the International Ceramic Studio in Kecskemét. Yeah, there you go. So these artists lived together and worked together during the summer 2015 and 16 and worked alongside and learned from sculptors, plaster masters, ceramic innovators from around the world. So that show is going to open May 12th, which is this Friday, 6 to 8:30 at Kansas City Artists Coalition. Also sitting next to her is Anson the Honorary. Hello, my friend.
Hi.
Yay. You also have a group of You also have an installation that's going to open May 17th, which is a week from today, the interactive installation called Shades.
I'm actually going to be at the same gallery at the same time.
Hey, now, wait a minute. I didn't see your name there. But that's okay. You can be there. So you're going to be there on Friday as well?
Yeah. Terrific. So it's just, there'll be three shows technically at the Artist Coalition there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, gosh, yeah, we're great to have you both here. Kansas City Artist Coalition, just talk about the work and the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us on,
Maria.
You bet,
Sydney.
Mm-hmm. My name is Sydney Ross. I'm a local artist here in Kansas City. I work primarily in clay. So Progressional Currents is an exhibition, as you mentioned, that opens alongside Anson's exhibit and another one upstairs this Friday at 6 p.m. at the Kansas City Artist Coalition. We are six artists who traveled together in Hungary. The reason we went there is there's this place called the International Ceramic Studio in Kecskemét, Hungary, and it draws artists from all over the world to come work with masters who kind of focus in porcelain and plaster and just have amazing facilities. So most of us actually met in Hungary, and we decided, wouldn't it be cool to see how this trip kind of transformed our studio practices. So the show has been kind of 2 years in the making, and we're really excited for it to open. This is the first time for me that I get to see all these works from as early as 2013 up to present day. So it's kind of cool to see that transformation happen with all of our works.
I also want to say that the other artists that are included in the show, Emily Connell, London Dupre, Kim Levon, Sydney Ross, Melanie Sherman, and Joseph Woolner, they'll be in Progressional Currents opening this Friday at 6 to 8:30 at 201 Wyandotte Street at the Kansas City Artist Coalition there in sort of, I guess, the River Market area.
Yeah,
right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So how exciting was that to work alongside? I mean, so much information to absorb.
It was really an incredible experience. I've actually traveled to Hungary twice. The first time I went as a student at the Kansas City Art Institute with Professor George Timok. He has a legacy of taking students there year
after
year.
And he's retiring this year.
He's already retired. Actually, he's retired and kind of doing his thing, but artists still go there each and every year to learn from these masters and just kind of work with this incredible porcelain. So that's actually a big draw. This porcelain they work with fires to, in ceramic terms, cone 12, which is very hot. And it's some of the finest porcelain you can find in the world. So it's a kind of like a convergent point for people, for ceramicists in particular. But it was just a really incredible experience. I'd recommend people to travel as often as they can and to go to a place like this that you wouldn't think would have such great resources.
Let's talk about some of the work that you'll see, because you know what, so many different images comes to people's mind when they think ceramics. So what are kind of some of the things we'll see there?
Yeah, so definitely it's not your typical ceramic show. There's not going to be a lot of pots or pottery for that matter, though there are a few artists. Actually, Melanie Sherman and Joseph Woolner do specialize in that kind of area. But there's all different kinds of themes we're spanning on, including religion, architecture, politics, anatomy, and the occult. So it's a very diverse show. There's a lot of different topics going on, but we've all kind of worked together over the years, so it's cool to see how everything's come together.
Kind of inspired each other's works?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when you live and work together, you know, there's no way avoiding influences from one another and getting feedback, and it's one of the beauties of attending residencies, I think, or just going out and working in a kind of artist-run facility.
When you talked about this is some of the world's best porcelain, what is the difference between what you can find, let's say, in Kansas City or elsewhere?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say it's exactly the best porcelain in the world, but it's truly magnificent. It's the quality of the kaolin that's mined. So the visual qualities you'll see are pure whiteness. So if you hold up different types of porcelains, you can then see the difference. Some are cooler, some are warmer, some have more of a cream tone to them. The Hungarian porcelain specifically is a very cool blue, but very piercing white kind of quality. And the shrinkage is pretty interesting. So for some people may know, with ceramics, you fire something, the water escapes and it tends to shrink down in size. Well, the percentage of that shrinkage for this clay is very high, so it makes it very vitreous, so very strong, and just very luscious material to work with. Not easy, but beautiful.
And if you would share some of your, if you would share a website or information for our listeners to look at your pieces, perhaps?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, well, first I'll tell you, you can find out more about all the exhibitions that are opening this Friday if you go to the KansasCityArtistsCoalition.org. You can also find them on Facebook if you look up KCAC. To find more information about my work, you can find it at SydneyRoss.com. That's C-Y-D-N-E-Y. R-O-S-S, as in Sam.com.
So how will you have this opportunity to work and live together with artists again, or is this one time sort
of
shot?
Well, you know, I like I said, I've done it a couple times, and actually several of the artists exhibiting in this particular show, Progressional Currents, have been to Hungary several times. But, you know, I think the beauty is it's to travel as often as possible. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to doing more residencies in the future. I'm constantly applying and searching for opportunities like that, because I think not only as an artist does it help you expand, but as a person, it really has helped me grow as a young woman. So, yeah, I look forward to doing more in the future.
I love that.
Thank you.
I love that inspiration. And we're going to turn to Anson the Honoree, because what makes you so honorary?
Well, you got to earn it.
I love that about you. Now, so your work, your interactive installation Shades, is also opening alongside?
Yeah, so Sydney's group show will be downstairs, and then I'll be in the back gallery. So there's three galleries, kind of, but I'll be in the back gallery. You'll be able to hear it, because I'll be having cattle auctioneer calling going on.
Yeah, that's really intrigues me, because as I was reading the description, tell our listeners about it. What they're going to find?
Yeah, so basically, when you walk into that space, it's going to be very dimly lit, and you're actually not going to see any of the art that is on display. All the art is being covered up by packing blankets, and then I encourage the viewers to actually feel the artwork through the packing blankets. So it's kind of a very direct metaphor to most of the famous work we think about in the world, or a lot of the most valuable pieces of artwork are all actually stored away. So it's kind of about at what point when art becomes bullion, it becomes more about the investment than its original purpose to inspire or be seen as something aesthetic. But so that work is kind of doing the same thing, where you actually have to feel the work rather than view it.
Yeah, I love the statement that you had sent me. Artwork's value comes from its ability to invoke thought and emotion. This intrinsic value is being replaced by monetary value, meaning the greatest works of art are only on view for large shows to increase the artwork's fame and price tag.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I read a story, this is years ago, this is like 2010, most of the work were in warehouses in Milan or somewhere that had basically a tax-free port. They're called free ports, and insurance companies wouldn't insure this art anymore, because if one warehouse caught fire, or any warehouse, it's billions of dollars. So, you know, a lot of museums don't even have enough storage for their work. That's a real problem for most art museums, or any museum, is storage. And, of course, no one wants to fund storage, it's an issue. But
what do you want people to experience when they come into the gallery space and they see or not see the work?
Yeah, I think most of my work is interactive. I really want to kind of get past that art on a pedestal, art as something above or separate. Most of my work I don't see complete to me until the viewer is actually part of the creative involvement. So I think I try to make what I'm talking about, which is kind of a dense subject ultimately if you're not within the field, but more accessible to people not in that conversation, because generally just the work is fun. You don't usually get to touch the work, so it's a little bit different, but that's mostly what I wanted to come away with, is just this idea of what's the value of art. You know, whether it's for its intentional purposes or if it's for a monetary purpose.
You know, and I'll go one step and say, some people think of art as something that looks good in their living room. Is there something wrong with that?
Well, I mean, I don't come out of that school. I don't think there's anything wrong with aesthetic art. I think beautification of spaces is important, inspires, you know, you can study after study. But I think also a lot of people not within the art field also don't understand the aspect of sometimes art is more for a statement or for experimentation. So I come out of more, I'm not trying to make visually pleasing artwork. I'm trying to make thought-provoking artwork. Yeah. And I don't think all artwork is meant to be beautiful. I think it can also be a way of communicating. And I think we have a real problem of always thinking communication is verbal or written. But, you know, dance, music, any kind of creative form, even others than that, is a form of communication that has its own flaws and own positives that maybe spoken or written language doesn't have.
Because it's interesting when you know, I go to a gallery and I look at the work and I study the work, but I also like to listen to people's comments, the conversations that they have between one another.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate most is kind of hearing what the audience is saying about my work, especially since it's interactive. I think people get a little bit more excited that they get to be involved with the work, and it's having a conversation with them rather than being a lecture in my mind.
And it's, I think it's rare, you know, because from a very early age on, we're told not to touch the artwork, not, you know, to, you know, step back and that sort of thing.
Well, I also think it's hard for the artist to give away that control. You know, I had a show called Please Despoil My Art in which people actually destroyed a large self-portrait of myself. And I had other artists that were like, can't you just make a copy of it? And I said, no, you know, it doesn't have the same impact unless I take this piece that I worked months on and have people destroy it. And I was very proud of it and think it's much more successful than just a self-portrait of myself.
You know, and that's a rare point of view, and I do appreciate that. It's very fatalistic.
There is something about that, allowing that kind of loss of control in your work. I do that with my ceramic sculptures. You know, I let them kind of fall apart and collapse in the firing or in pre-processes. And with a material, that specifically clay, that is so controlling and so specific, you really have to understand it. There is this amazing sense of release when you can just let it go, you know, and just let it do its thing. Like gravity, you take control and... You know.
Yeah, I think it's when you don't make your work so precious that you find that next step, that next level. And it is that experimentation. And I think it takes a long time for artists to finally be like, you know what? It's just one more painting. It's just one more sculpture, you know.
But so you have to give up that control. You have to sort of liberate yourself from that. You know, it's precious. No, I'm going to keep this and keep working on it. I mean, that's huge.
It feels
for a
great
lot of artists.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's always that sort of Phoenix Rising mentality that that I've always felt. If this painting isn't working, I'm going to turn it upside down.
Right.
You know, right?
Yeah.
So if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Anson the Honoree and Sydney Ross. They're talking about the Kansas City Artists Coalition, their work that's going to be up this weekend at, again, the Kansas City Artists Coalition at 201 Wyandotte Street in Kansas City, Missouri. KansasCityArtistsCoalition.org is the website. And Sydney Ross is in a group show, Progressional Currents, highlighting ceramic artists that have traveled to Hungary in order to expand and challenge their studio practice at the International Ceramic Studio in Kecskemét.
Kecskemét, Hungary.
There you go. Yeah. I was close. And Anson the Honoree also is showing an interactive installation, Shades, opening this weekend as well. So now, you know, being there at the Artists Coalition, you say there's many different sort of galleries, so people can find out which gallery you're in through their website, right?
That's right. And also, it's pretty easy to navigate. Just when you walk in, you'll see the two galleries upstairs, and then you go down the stairs in the back, and then there's the underground gallery. Something I don't want to forget to mention is we will have artist talks this Friday, starting at 6 p.m., so Friday, May 12th, at the Kansas City Artists Coalition. All the artists involved in these three exhibits, so three exhibits, eight artists. We're all going to talk a little bit about our shows starting at 6 p.m. this Friday.
And I know the Kansas City Artists Coalition, they were celebrating their anniversary this year. I want to say it's 30 years. I could be wrong. Let me put you on the spot.
I think it is. They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, they should have.
I really think it's the hidden jewel of this city in a lot of ways. Yeah. I didn't know about it for a long time, and I think they take a a lot more of a risk than a lot of other galleries just because of their nonprofit status.
Yeah, and they're super supportive.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, they're great. I mean, Janet Simpson, who helps run it, when she called me up, she just said what I had proposed. She just goes, I don't think that piece is going to work, but I just like your work so much, I'll just let you do whatever you want. So yeah, that's a rare thing to hear from a gallery. So
yeah. You're right. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming in today on Art Speak Radio. Thank you so much, Sydney Ross.
Thank you.
And Zananari, thank you so much for sharing your work. And,
absolutely.
And we'll see you at the Kansas City Artists Coalition. All right. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this. This is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and thank you so much for tuning in. I want to say that one of my guests wasn't able to come in today, Monica Espinoza, but I do want to pass along some information about the Kansas City Women in Film and TV. They're dedicated to empowering, promoting, and mentoring women in the entertainment, communications, and media industries. They're asking you to join them tonight as they dig into the special effects side of things with Jim McCauley and Tabitha Terry Trummel at their monthly meeting. Now, they have a new date, time, and location. It's tonight, Wednesday, May 10th at 7:30. It takes place at the Buffalo Room in the Westport Flea Market Bar and Grill at 817 Westport Road. And for more information, their website is kcwift.com. And I want to give a shout out to the lovely managers of that Buffalo Room, V. Tran, and his beautiful wife, Mackenzie Goodwin. They do some great things in the community down there. So thank you so much, V and Mackenzie. We love you. I'm going to turn now to our next guest. And this is Becky Ray. On the second Thursday of the month at the Outburst in Kansas City, you can catch Ghost A-Go-Go with Becky Ray. Now, it's an evening of live paranormal storytelling, performances, and games. Sometimes it's scary, sometimes funny, sometimes unbelievable, but the storytellers are from all walks of life, and they share their experiences in the show's informal setting. And it is 21 and up. It takes place tomorrow, May 11th, 8 p.m. to 9:30 at the Outburst, Kansas City, 1715 Wyandotte. Hello, Becky Ray. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, very exciting. So what is Ghost A-Go-Go? Because I love just that title alone.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, it's live paranormal storytelling. One thing that I've found, I've been interested in the paranormal my whole life, and I've been a paranormal researcher for a long time, and you run across people firm believers, people who are kind of skeptical, and some people who are completely debunkers. But I found even the people who are the debunkers, they'll say, I don't believe in the paranormal, I don't believe in any of it. But then they always follow it with, but this one time, this thing happened. Yeah. And everybody seems to have a story about something that happened to them. And this is just a live night where people come up and get on the stage and tell, you know, short stories about their personal experiences. And then if we have time at the end of the show, audience members can come up and tell some of their stories too.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, but I have to ask you, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Did you have sort of this innate gift or sensibility about you with ghosts at a young age, or did it just sort of happen as you
I wouldn't
matured?
Call it a gift, because I don't really have any, like, I'm not a psychic, I don't have any special
Didn't know really what
powers.
To call it, or,
But it's an interest. I've definitely, I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't have an interest. Mm-hmm. I was always the person and the kid and everything. They would say, oh, don't go in that house. That house is haunted. I was like, really? That house is haunted? Let's go!
It's like, that's so funny.
It's like, dare you to knock on the door. It's like, I'll beat you to it.
And I have to mention that it's also this event is sponsored by American Hauntings Tours, right?
Yes.
So tell us some of the places that you've been in Kansas City or around that we should go.
Kansas City is kind of a tricky area because a lot of the places here that have the best hauntings don't want you to talk about it. But I can't.
You can write it down.
Yeah. The John Warnell House is a good place. Yeah. They have their historical tours and everything they do there. But it's also a paranormal place. They have ghosts there. And I do believe they do some of their own ghost events there as well. The 1859 jail in Independence, Missouri.
Yes.
That's very haunted. And that's one of the places that it's nice to go to because you just walk in the door and they want to talk to you about their ghosts because they have a lot of activity. One place I've been to a lot lately and that I've been going to with some events for American Haunted haunting tours is the Glore Psychiatric Museum up in St. Joseph.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that place is great. Great place to tour, great place to do ghost stuff.
But I find that looking at those places, going to those places, touring those haunted places, that for me, I have to sage myself so I don't have any of that sort of stuff that's following
right.
me home. Yeah. And I certainly felt that way with Glore mm-hmm. Psychiatric Museum, which is very fascinating. And you know, there's a sadness too in how we dealt with mental illness, through the centuries.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and I would also mention Belvoir Winery.
Yes,
been there.
Yes, up in Liberty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's
definitely.
A fun place.
Uh-huh.
And I know they've been on Ghost Hunters
right.
or some
they've
of those shows and that
yeah.
sort of thing. So tell us a little bit of what people can expect for tomorrow night at your Ghosts at Go-Go.
Oh, well, tomorrow night's show, I've got some good storytellers. Both of my storytellers tomorrow night are also paranormal investigators. So, and I honestly don't know what they're going to be talking about, but I know it's going to be good because I know they've been places and done things. And tomorrow night's show, normally it's straight storytelling, but tomorrow night, towards the end of the show, I'm also going to be playing some electronic voice phenomena, or also called EVPs for people that watch mm-hmm. the TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Those are sounds and voices that we record on our equipment that we don't hear at the time that we're there. We just, when we're reviewing it later, we hear these voices talking to us.
Well, for skepticals, for mm-hmm. people who are out there going, nah, you know, what do you tell them? I mean, if there's sort of proof in the audio.
I don't know that I'd even call it proof because it's very, that's what makes it all paranormal. If it was explainable and if we could prove what it was, it wouldn't be paranormal anymore. It'd be normal.
But
I don't even know for sure. The thing is, what we have on the audio is that we don't know what it is and we haven't been able to debunk it and prove it as anything else yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of puts it in that paranormal category. And I love skeptical people. I myself am a skeptical person.
Sure.
I'm not necessarily a debunker, but I go into everything with a completely open mind. I don't expect it to be haunted, but I also don't expect it not to be haunted.
Mm-hmm.
I go in to see what's happening and try to figure it out. And I always look for the logical first.
Mm-hmm.
But at the Ghosts of Go-Go show, with the storytelling, it's a judgment-free zone. So, you know, if you're a person that believes everything, you're more than welcome to come tell your story about believing everything. If the dishes fall over in your sink and you think it's a ghost, that's a great place to come tell that story.
Do you think this is pretty popular now? Because I know there's a lot of shows about ghost brothers, ghost hunters, ghost adventures, and that sort of thing. Do you think people are sort of opening up and sort of liberating their minds into maybe, you know, just having that possibility, maybe this is, you know.
Yeah, I think at first I was very against those shows because they kind of made us all look silly. But I think what has happened is we've come out of the taboo. When I first started in it, it was one of those things people find out what I did and they would either be really interested or they'd shrink away from me like, but with those shows, it's normalized it. It's made it just part of the culture now. And it's not such a, I don't get all the oddball looks anymore.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty popular to maybe go into a different town or city and you know, begin to look at some ghost tours and that sort of thing.
Yeah, almost every place has them now.
So. They're really popular. Now, for yourself, mm-hmm. without knowing that any information from anybody, can you go into a place and just kind of get this feel?
Mm-hmm.
How does it work for you?
Not really. Honestly, I think every place is haunted. I think there are ghosts everywhere you go. I don't think there's a place you can go that's ghost-free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a matter of paying attention to it. For me, like I said, I'm not psychic at all, but I'll sometimes, you know, just get the little hairs on the back of your neck that stand up, and you just kind of feel like someone's behind me when there's not.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of those feelings every now and then.
If you've tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, you'll know that I'm talking with Becky Ray, with Ghosts a Go-Go, which is an evening of live paranormal storytelling, performances, and games. Sometimes scary, sometimes funny, sometimes unbelievable. I love that. Storytellers from all walks of life that share their experiences and the show's informal setting. This is happening tomorrow night, May 11th, from 8 to 9:30 p.m. And you can find out more information through The Outburst KC.
Yeah, you can go to theoutburstkc.com or you can go to my website, which is pages, ghostsagogo.com, and both The Outburst and Ghosts of Go-Go are on Facebook as well, so you can find us there.
And I also want to mention that it's for age 21 and up. And why is that? I'm just curious.
Language, mostly. It's not that it's so scary that the kids aren't there. It's just that it's more of an adult show. I do some presentations where they are geared for younger people, but the Outburst for the Ghosts of Go-Go, it's language mostly. We're not censored.
Okay. Well, and I didn't know if there was any sort of liquor that was involved with but that's okay because we love our Susanna Lee.
Oh, absolutely. Love her so much.
Yeah. Shout out to Susanna Lee. Now, is she back in Kansas City? Or I know
I think she's
in LA.
Traveling back today, so I don't know if she's back yet, but I know it's a travel day.
We love her because she's done so much with that space and offers so much for everybody's taste.
Absolutely.
You will have a couple of storytellers tonight and games.
Or tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Yes. And games? What kind of games?
Sometimes we play what I call ghosts or gusts, which is like, was it a ghost or was it a gust of wind? Which is just, is this a true statement or is it not true? And it's just a contest to see if people can figure it out. Other times I've done a couple where it's a matter of, which is the true statement type things. And I'm trying to work on some more new games. I think tomorrow, depending on time-wise, we might just do a drawing for the prizes tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, and you really kind of never know, what you're going to hear,
sure. Yes.
So that should be exciting. Now, for listeners that are wanting to attend, is it first come, first serve once you get your tickets, or are they assigned tickets?
No, it's open seating. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's brownpapertickets.com, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Terrific. So, how long have you been with American Hauntings and all of that?
I've been with American Hauntings coming up on 20 years, and I've been doing paranormal research for over 30.
Uh-huh. But here, basically, in Kansas City?
I grew up in Oklahoma, and then I was out in California for 5 years and then ended up here. And, and everywhere I've gone, I've kind of just, put my feelers out and kind of dug in the ground. It's like, here we go.
Yeah, this is so much fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's pretty popular, like I said, because everyone has a story.
They do.
You know, everyone wants to share that experience and sort of, that there's something, some sort of a wonderful camaraderie when you're sharing ghost stories.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's a bonding moment.
It really is. Uh-huh. It really is. I should tell you a couple of stories that but I'll tell you later.
Okay.
No, it's interesting because, I had heard Belvoir Winery was haunted and all that, and I was up there just out and about, and I thought, well, I'm just going to stop in, and so I'm walking around, I'm trying to, get this, okay, where are they? Come on, come at me. And it's really interesting, because in one of the rooms they have history about Belvoir Winery as a hotel and an orphanage and all this and that, and then they have that skeleton.
Right, for the Oddfellows,
yeah. But see, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, because I want people to kind of come in here.
Right?
But I will say that as I was leaving, and again, it was an orphanage, too.
Mm-hmm.
As I was leaving, I turned, and I felt this little right here on my elbow. It was just something like a child just kind of trying to get your attention. And then I was happy, and I went home.
Yeah. that's what's interesting in the main building there. That's what people talk about is the children, they feel children there.
Yeah, and there's also smells, too. So it's not just visual, right?
No. Actually, as long as I've been doing this, I've probably seen things less than 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally smells, sounds a lot of times, sensations, and just unexplained things, but rarely that I actually see things.
And it's interesting because sometimes I pay attention to my dogs or my cats because they have that heightened sense, right?
Yes. That's sometimes when I'm at home and I'm starting to get a little paranoid, I always look, where are the cats? How are the cats acting? Oh, they're asleep. I'm fine.
Help me. So this is happening every second Thursday of the month.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what else do you have lined up, Becky Ray?
Besides the Ghosts of Go-Go thing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a librarian by day.
Uh-huh.
And right now I'm actually doing presentations about Glore Psychiatric Museum for Mid-Continent Library. And coming up in the fall, I'm going to be doing another presentation on Haunted Missouri. And the library has asked me to put together one that's beginning paranormal research for teens that I'm going to be doing this fall as well.
Wow, I bet that's going to be popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if people want more information about anything, any projects that you're working on or future events, how do they get a hold
of
you?
They can go to ghostsofgogo.com, and there's a contact form on there. Or then go to my paranormal group's website, which is ghost-investigators.com, and contact us through there as well.
That's terrific. And so do you have any recommended readings? As a librarian, do you have any recommended readings for ghosts?
I have a list.
Just give us a few if you can think of.
Well, depending on what you want to get, for people wanting to get into ghost investigation, I definitely recommend, there's a book called Missing Pieces, and I'm trying to think of the author's name right now. It just blew out of my mind. But it's Paranormal Research, Missing Pieces, and that's an excellent book. And then there's the Ghost Hunter's Guidebook by Troy Taylor, which I think should be in everybody's ghost hunting kit.
Yeah, yeah.
They should definitely go through that.
Is there anything, any experience that you've had that really scared the boots off of you?
I had one at Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Louisville, Kentucky. It's an old tuberculosis hospital. And I'm actually planning on telling the story tomorrow night, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it now.
Yeah.
And
because you have lots more stories.
I do. It is a gigantic, it's 180,000 square foot property, and it's 5 stories tall. And it was back before they knew what caused tuberculosis. So a lot of people went there to get well and died because they didn't know what caused it. There was no cure. And one of the stories I'd always heard about it was that there was a little boy on one of the floors, and they don't know what his name is, but they called him Timothy or Timmy. And my first time I was there, we didn't really experience him. We saw shadow people and other weird things happen, but we didn't see him. Mm-hmm. But one of my friends that lives in Louisville took a picture, and in this picture, it looks like there's a child shadow down the hallway from me. And I was intrigued by that. I was like, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So on the next time we were there, we were purposely trying to talk to Timmy. We're just saying, hey, Timmy, we're here, you know. And we're all kind of standing in a close little huddle in the middle of the hallway because it was totally dark and it was kind of spooky. And we're just kind of huddled in the hallway. And we start to see some shadows down the hallway, which could, you know, be the trees and everything blowing outside. But we, you know, we were like, well, let's just see, you know, maybe it's Timmy. And my friend Jonathan was standing in front of me, and he had on his, around his belt, he had like a little holster flashlight, like the military style. It's shaped like an L in a holster. And he leaned forward and he said, hey, Timmy, do you want to come play with me? And right after he said that, directly in front of me, next to him, I saw a child, like as solid as you and me. And like I said, I don't see things. And this kind of freaked me out. And a little kid reached over and popped the bottom of that flashlight. So it popped up in his holster. And I did what the brave ghost investigator does. I screamed and ran backwards.
Just like in the movies.
Yeah, just like in the movies.
I love that.
And then it was gone. But what was really great about that was every single one of us that was there had a different experience. We all saw something different. I saw a solid boy. Other people just saw a streak of light. And Jonathan didn't see anything, but he felt the flashlight move.
I love that story. But you can tell it again tomorrow night.
Yes, I could.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Becky Ray, for coming in and filling us in
on
what's happening.
Yes.
You bet. And we'll have you back, right?
Great. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Terrific. I want to say thank you to Sherwood, Sydney Ross, Anson the Honorary, and of course, Becky Ray. Next week, we're halfway through May, May 17th. I've got Kelly Powell, photographer, also artist, ukulele player, Mike Lyon, Carwoo, who's going to talk about artists helping the homeless. Stay tuned for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz Afternoon, and I believe Roger Daltrey, Roger Corman is going to fill in for him, so stay tuned for that. Be sure to like us on Facebook, and you know, we have podcasts available through our website, kkfi.org, and iTunes. Thank you so much for listening, and honey, I'm coming home. Thank you.